AlcaVision.com.
Each and every show we go inside the Beltway, talk radio news, they're on top of everything. And what happens in Washington, as all of you know listening to America Tonight, in some way affects us across this country in our own backyards. Victoria Jones is with us from Talk Radio News this time around. And Victoria, the big thing has been to keep it's constantly been over money, whether it's the budget of 2011, 2012, or the debt ceiling. Is the focus really now just on the debt ceiling, or is it on other aspects of the budget?
Well, it's on both, and it's interesting. I mean, they're trying to focus both on the budget and the deficit and the debt ceiling. So they're trying to do both at the same time, and it gets very complicated, and everybody gets confused. But really, it's the debt ceiling that's looming, because when they come back from this two-week recess, which has just started at the beginning of May, that's what's going to be facing them, even though Secretary of the Treasury Geithner says really the drop-dead date is the beginning of July. The fact is that we're going to start reaching the debt limit very, very soon. And Rentsch was thrown into the works today by Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina because he's threatened a filibuster on raising the debt ceiling unless he wins a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution.
Wow. And what are the chances of that happening?
I think they're slim to none. I just don't think it's going to happen, quite frankly. And he's saying he's opposing any attempt to voting on to vote to raise the limit. And I just don't see, frankly, how it's going to happen. I mean, Jay Carney, the White House spokesman, didn't address the threat directly today. He talked about the cleanliness of the bill again. You know, they want a completely clean bill with nothing attached to it except, I don't know, the naming of a post office or something like that. But I just don't believe they're going to get a clean bill.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's slim to none as well. One of the things that is being talked about is it's very unclear with this, when we're talking about the budget, what's going to happen with the health care law. What have you heard about that?
Well, it's a question of, you know, how much, whether it's going to be defunded or how it's actually going to impact it. And I think people really don't know because the funding of the healthcare law is so complex that I don't think they're really going to know until sort of things start to bang up against it, until, you know, literally you try to get to funding for something and then find out, oh, really, it was on page 2074 that there's no funding for that.
Yeah.
I really don't think they're going to know.
Yeah. So it's just another one of those, I keep saying it's just another one of those big question marks. And, of course, this was tax day, and we're swinging into Tuesday, but people did their taxes or got extensions or whatever they did. And I found it interesting there was a poll saying that Americans want the tax breaks. The USA Today Gallup poll showed that. Was there any discussion? Because, of course, there's been a lot of discussion about taxes. Did you hear any bounce back from that?
In the White House, there were a couple of questions about taxes today. You know, the presence for reforming the tax code, he talked about that earlier in the year. There wasn't an awful lot of talk about it, really. I think one of the things that's concerning to a lot of people, this wasn't talked about at the briefing today, but that is concerning a lot of people, is what's going to be done about charitable deductions, because both the White House and Republicans want to really clamp down on charitable deductions. And this isn't just going to impact, you know, big spenders, but this is, you know, if you want to save the dolphins or feed hungry children, they are going to try to stop that charitable deduction. They're really seriously talking about that.
Boy, well, I'm a great example of that, and I think I would still continue to help them, but I give some money to Children International. We sponsor a young boy in Ecuador, and there are a lot of charities out there where people give a monthly fee or whatever it is, but whether it's $300, $400, $500 at the end of the year, that is a write-off, and charities know that's one of the things that can induce people to also help.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. So I think this is going to be very unpopular.
Yeah, I agree with you. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks so much for your insights into what's going on in Washington. We appreciate it here on America Tonight.
Thank you.
All right, so it's interesting. Again, we're constantly talking about where the roads are leading to when it comes to money, and ultimately where we find ourselves in these United States. And, you know, I hate to keep going backwards, folks. We hate to do that. And I don't want to start a show that way, other than to say it was tax day. Some people were feeling crunched, but there was still 45% of you in certain households that didn't pay any income tax. And shockingly, I also read another statistic where 43% said the tax was just right. But yet we really don't like the word tax. And the idea of raising taxes is unacceptable across the board to most Americans. And I think the gist of it is when your property tax goes up, jacking up your mortgages, the local taxes go up, your state taxes go up, when everything is just on the rise, it catches you in a spider's web. It's not a little chunk of change. It's a much bigger chunk of change. And I think that's where people start to cringe when you say the word taxes. But apparently not on their personal taxes as they're filling them out this year anyway. But wait till some of those deductions are gone. When the deductions slip away and slip through your fingers, you're not going to be so happy with filling out those taxes, I think, the next time around. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, a unique hour. First, because so many of you have dogs, and we've been talking about dogs on the lighter side, is your puppy or dog too fat? We constantly talk about humans and reducing our girth, but what about our pets? Do our pets copy what we do? Do you have a dog that's arthritic because it's eating too much food? You're feeding it too much, or you're feeding it a lot of fattening kind of snacks. One of the folks from Prevention Magazine, Robbie Capolo, is going to join us next to talk about that and about some of the things that you need to be aware of, like the small dog versus the bigger dog. Also coming up at the end of the hour, one of my favorite things that we do here, our fun feature called We Can Count. Yeah, on a tax day, it's always fun to go back and, I think, count. And so we will do that. For those of you celebrating Passover, happy Passover, although you're probably not listening to this show. A lot of people in the United States are celebrating Passover, of course, and many of you that listen to us in other places are celebrating Passover. And at the end of the week, we switch to the Christian holiday, and Easter is actually this Sunday. How did we get to Easter so fast? I mean, I'm sure if you're following along in church and it's leading up to that point. Boy, the markage of time, though, that we went from, it seems like we just hit the gas when it came to Christmas, the start of a new year, and whew, here we are at Easter. Easter already. All right, we're talking dogs and your dogs next on ATM.
Our big story, food prices rise with gas prices. Economists expect food price hikes of 3 to 4% this year. From lettuce to tomatoes, virtually all fresh produce has doubled in price. In the past year, corn prices up 87%, soybeans up 41%, and wheat has climbed 54%. Demand for seed is extremely high. Stock up today while supplies last.
Yes, there is a threat of seed shortages due to climatic weather events. Be prepared. Save money. Eat healthy with SeedsNow.com. For a limited time, SeedsNow.com is offering a survival garden seed vault stocked with over 60,000 high-quality heirloom seeds, over 50 popular varieties. All SeedsNow.com seeds are grown in the USA, 100% heirloom, 100% non-hybrid, 100% non-GMO. Order now at SeedsNow.com or by phone at 818-584-1488. That's 818-584-1488. Remember, SeedsNow.com. your number one online source for quality garden seeds.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. To America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and of course, you all know that I have Mahalo, the golden retriever. In fact, on our webcam, you've held up your dogs. You've seen my dog come in and out of the studio during the show. It's so much fun. I didn't own a dog, have a dog, until 2 years ago, and boy, I am learning as I go along, including what about the diet. I took my dog to the vet the other day. He's perfect. His weight is fine. He's great. But I thought he was a little pudgy a year ago, so he trimmed, we had to work on trimming him down just a couple of pounds, 5-6 pounds. And I know all of you struggle with that, with the food and whatnot. Robbie Caplow joins us now, the executive director at Prevention Magazine, to talk about that very thing. Robbie, you have a dog, right?
I do. I have a little rescue Shih Tzu, and her name is Pancake, and she is lying right next to me as I talk to you.
Ooh, Pancake. Now, see, you have a small dog. I have a big dog. Is that part of the deal when you're figuring out what needs to be done for your particular breed? I would imagine that plays into it.
Yeah, I mean, it really does make a huge difference. You know, not all dogs are created equally. You have to exercise your dog differently depending on the breed because they're, frankly, bred for different tasks.
Yeah. So I read somewhere, it was a statistic, and I'm sure it was from Prevention Magazine, that half of all the dogs and cats, let's not leave the cats out, in the country are overweight. So
I know.
What does that mean?
Yes, you did read it in Prevention, and it's actually more than half of all the dogs and cats are in this country, and it's dangerous because it really puts them at risk for joint pain and back pain and kidney disease. So you really have to be careful what you're doing with your little pooch.
Yeah, so what's the thing you should do? Is it trim down the food, the portions, like the rest of us, how we're all getting chubby? Should we trim down what we give them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just like the way it is with humans, dogs, as time has gone on, we feed them more, we exercise them less. So just like with us, you have to be very careful about portion control. You want to look at the serving sizes on the back of your dog food bag. And remember, when you're thinking, all right, well, my dog weighs 90 pounds, but if you really should be weighing 75 pounds, then you need to follow the serving instructions for a 75-pound dog. Cats can get overweight, too. So you have to be careful with them, too. Now, with cats, it's just a question of kind of switching to a high-protein variety of cat food. Or, in fact, a cat food with fewer carbs can work, too.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though. We learned from the beginning to train our pets by giving them treats. So I think there's something about the snacking. Do you have to watch? I'm sure, right? You have to watch the calories in the snacks.
Yes, I know, because you think, oh, well, my dog is so wonderful, and, you know, she just did something fantastic, so I'll give her a big, high-calorie snack. But the truth of it is that they can, you know, get the same reward feeling from you with a snack that's actually much smaller. You know, and the traditional pet treats are high in sugar and carbs, and they're low in the good stuff like protein. So when you're shopping, you want to make you know, a point of looking for food that's actually, you know, high protein that can be torn into kind of small bite-sized pieces for your pet.
What about, this seems pretty obvious, but I think a lot of people don't do this because we're too tired, we're working too much, whatever the reason. But what about the exercise for the dogs? That's got to be huge.
Yes, it is important to give your dog exercise because, let's face it, you know, if they don't get enough, they're wired, they start chewing the furniture, they're barking at you constantly, you know, it makes it not a very happy situation. The key is to make sure that you're exercising them in the right way. Now, Mahalo, for instance, is a retriever, you said?
Yeah, golden retriever.
Okay, so the best thing for her would be, you know, to swim for like 20 or 30 minutes, you know, in a clear body of water where there's an easy way in and out, like a gentle slope. You know, she was literally born to swim. You know, my dog's a little Shih Tzu, not born to swim. Yeah, she's got a little short nose face and short-legged. You know, for somebody like a Shih Tzu or a pug or a bulldog, they do much better when they are exercised for about 20 to 30 minutes and a little fun kind of hallway obstacle course with rolled-up paper towels and cardboard boxes. It's a totally different situation.
Do, in the summertime, do the dogs, do you find that the dogs don't get as much exercise? Did you find that in any of the research? Because, you know, it's hot. So there we go again with the excuses. And you just gave us examples of, okay, here's something you can do with these different breeds, whether it's a big dog and swimming or doing other little tricks and things that you can do with smaller dogs. But is there a thing about the seasons, do you think, that plays into the dogs gaining weight, the animals gaining weight?
Well, for instance, I do think that it's harder for certain breeds to breathe. You know, when it's hot out, you want to be careful about keeping them outside for too long. And a lot of times I think dog owners misunderstand the signs of a dog. You know, when they're panting, they think, oh, it's so cute. You know, they're thirsty, but they're also sweating. So it's a way that they're telling you that, you know, it's hot, it's too much, and they need to go inside. You know, so when you see that extreme panting or the pupils are dilated, that's a sign that, oh, my God, you know, it's a little too much. So you have to kind of hold back. And, you know, again, just like humans, I think that we're can sometimes be guilty of being weekend warriors. You think, all right, I've been working all week, but it's Saturday. I'm going to be out. I'm going to exercise the dog like crazy. And you know what? It's not good for either one of you. You know, your joints get tired and you can't handle it. And then you're, you know, collapsing on Sunday thinking, oh, my God, what did I do?
I agree. What about when you're doing these walks and these, you just made me think about this, with the panting and stuff, it's got to be important to drag water along with you. I've seen that people don't do that. And then they try, you know, you see the poor dog is trying to get water off the street or from a sprinkler or whatever. You got to take water, I'm sure. You're going to tell me that.
Yes, you know, even just in a little kind of plastic container that you can, you know, pick up anywhere. Just take some with you, and it can be tap water. It's okay. But, you know, dogs do need it. They need it more frequently than we do. And just think, you know, a lot of them are carrying around all that hair with them. So it's like wearing a big fur coat when it's 90 degrees out. It's not that much fun.
Yeah. What about the people who, I've seen this sadly, what about the people who tie their dogs up to, like, their bicycles and they're running with it? The first time I saw that, Robbie, I thought, oh, that's really cool. Maybe I should do that with Mahalo. And then I thought, maybe not. Maybe this isn't good for the dog. What did you find out about stuff like that?
You know, it's really not good. You know, because even if you have the type of breed where it's, you know, they're runners and they have you know, a good sense of exertion, the leash can get snagged in the spokes. And your dog is generally going to get tired before you do. So really the experts say that you should never tie your pet to your bike. And frankly, you know, by the same token, you have to be careful of retractable leashes because sometimes they don't retract quickly enough. And when that happens, your dog can accidentally get entangled in the spokes with bikes and strollers and other dogs. And, you know, God, everyone want to think about what that turns into.
Oh, I agree with you. What happens is we started off the interview talking about the fact that more than half of all the dogs and cats in the country, as you say in Prevention Magazine, are actually overweight. If your dog's overweight or your cat's overweight, what are they in danger? What's in danger of what could happen to them? What are the things that they could contract or what could happen to them?
I mean, they could get arthritis or kidney disease, diabetes, and, you know, God help us, an early death. And you certainly don't want that. You know, even when you're looking at your dog and you think, oh, you know, she's so adorable and wonderful when they're roly-poly, you know, it's really not good. We actually have a really fascinating stat in the magazine that says, for instance, if you have a Yorkie that weighs 12 pounds, that is the kind of dog equivalent of a woman who's 5'4", weighing 218 pounds. You have to think about it like percentages. I mean, that's a really overweight dog. And you look at them and think, oh, they're so adorable. But you know what? It's really not that adorable. And it's just not good for the dog either.
Yeah, no kidding. We're speaking with Robbie Kaplow from Prevention Magazine. She's the executive director. It had to be a lot of fun for you as somebody who has a dog to go through this article and find out all these things. And I wondered if you found out, did you find out, and I might be answering my own question, maybe I'm not, I think it depends on the part of the country, are we seeing any trends with dogs? Are there more small dogs or big dogs or Chihuahuas or Yorkshire Terriers?
Yeah, there are definitely, the trend is towards smaller dogs in cities, that's for sure. You know, you see that all over the place. I think generally the whole kind of realm of adoption and rescuing dogs has really gotten out there, and I think in a very positive way. And it's a wonderful thing to do for an animal, you know, to give them a home. So we're all behind that of Prevention.
Yeah, boy, I agree with that. And I think that's on the rise. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd have to do some research on it. But it seems like I've gone places and seen the Humane Society and other folks out there trying, even specific to breeds, trying to get dogs adopted. And lucky to find out that more people, even in my own neighborhood, have adopted. In fact, Robbie, check this out. In my neighborhood, up and down both sides of the blocks, every single dog was adopted.
You're kidding.
No, and this is like 25 houses. I think that's tremendous. I hope more people listening do that.
It is fantastic. I mean, and certainly with the ASPCA, you see those sort of adoption vans around the city, especially when the weather gets warm. And in places like Petco, I have seen that they do different adoption drives. So I think there's a big surge to try to get these animals taken care of in the best and safest way possible. And it's wonderful.
I agree with you 100%. Okay, so the key here is do not have this pudgy pet. You don't want to have that. Pick up Prevention Magazine. You just heard some of the things that Robbie Kaplow, the executive director for Prevention Magazine, was talking about with me. Read more in the magazine about what you can do to help your dog with his size and shape. And thank you so much for stopping by America Tonight.
Kate, it was wonderful. Thanks so much.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Freedom, the blistering anti-globalist anthem from the rock band Ravelin.
Back in thrones, have their tools. Slakes to build
Just one of 11 great songs from their album Under the Sun. Available on iTunes and at Ravelin.com. R-A-V-I-S-N-Victory-L-Y-N, Ravelin.com.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with OrganicaSeed.com. Easy because OrganicaSeed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to OrganicaSeed.com, spelled OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com. Remember, OrganicaSeed is healthy seed.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $220. And the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com. Today.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Well, proud artist and confused, because lately you've been starting to lose, losing out on everything you might try to do. That luck fella's got to hold on you. To spend money, about to lose your home.
Done Mother Nature, once again, paying a visit to San Francisco. You know, with the quakes in Japan, it always brings up the notion that when is the big one going to hit California? When is that going to happen? They sell prediction T-shirts in the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state. So this time it was the northern part of the state, and it was just a bunch of small quakes. But it happened on the anniversary of, for this time anyway, the big one. If you remember when the Bay Area was ripped open, seems like such a long time ago, and it was a long time ago. And the Bay Area, especially the city, the way the city is built, I mean, things just collapse. So it's the 105th anniversary of the great San Francisco earthquake, and that was in 1906. They had two small ones this time around. The first one was somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.4 is what they're calling it. And it happened in the afternoon. So the afternoon, you can imagine, I mean, it was kind of the time when kids are getting out of school and, you know, the city's buzzing. Not that San Francisco isn't always busy like any metropolitan area, but it definitely rattled a few nerves, the quakes, because when you first feel an earthquake, you're really not sure what's going on. Of course you're not. And this one happened to come down right around the 3 o'clock mark. People described it as a sharp jolt, kind of rumbling noises that you hear. And then there was another one a few minutes later. And the second one was pretty minor. It was 1.4, but people could still feel it. In fact, a place where I used to go a lot in Burlingame, there is an Irish pub there And at the Irish pub in Burlingame, which is on the peninsula outside of the city, the downtown city area in San Francisco, they say that the bar shook and the lights and just swayed from the ceiling for at least a couple of seconds. And that's pretty much what most of those quakes are like. Just boom, it happens, you feel it. It's kind of a little bit of a jolt. And is it significant damage? What's falling off of the walls? And it was strange, but it marked almost to the time when the great earthquake hit. And in 1906, there were only, at this point now, because you think of how long ago that was, there are only 3 known survivors left from the quake. It killed thousands. I mean, thousands. And it was the fire afterwards that really got a lot of people. And I've seen photos of it. You can go almost anywhere. They have a museum where they have photos of what happened there. And it ripped that city apart. And then remember in 89, they had one during the World Series. And that was pretty bad. There were cars that got caught. And certainly there were people that died. But nothing like the big one. When they talk about the big one that happened in the past, they're going all the way back to the early 1900s. Well, you don't have to go too far back, unfortunately, for the people of Raleigh, North Carolina, for this one. But they, too, know what it's like to feel the wrath of Mother Nature. And she was pretty upset over the weekend, all those tornadoes, almost 260 tornadoes, a lot of them centered in North Carolina. That's where the bulk of the people died. 40 people died over the weekend as a result of those strong winds, right? Most of it slammed down into North Carolina. So the world is starting to wake up and see this and wondering how the folks are doing. And the governor, Bev Perdue, had this to say about Raleigh and resilience and rebuilding and all that kind of stuff, and take a listen.
A lot of faith, a lot of community, a lot of friends, but it's just the spirit of North Carolina. It's the spirit of, thank God, first of all, I'm alive.
That's correct.
The sadness for the destruction of real people's lives and property. But then this resilience of North Carolina, it's just simply there.
That will be a hole that's here forever. This is a hardly pressed economic county to start with. And as you travel through here, you see people who have lost every single thing they have in life. He said to me, Bev, whatever it is you need, whatever it is the federal government can do for you. The real hardship, the real challenge is the rebuilding.
Yeah, that is the real challenge, because you have houses and communities just blown apart, blown to nothing, not to mention burying the people who perished in the tornadoes. But the rebuilding will be tougher, I think, for some of those people, because the tornadoes were pretty much all over the place and cherry-picked certain houses and certain streets. I call this the cleanup segment. And because there's so much that we hopscotch around and talk about on some of our shows, it's worth giving you the follow-up. Don't you hate that when you remember, oh, I heard part of that story, but what happened afterwards? And one of the things that we talked about here on America Tonight was the crazy twins, if you remember, the whole Facebook deal where they were suing, the Harvard twins were suing because of the money that they say they would have had, basically, since they believe they founded Facebook. And in fact, it was the title, it became really the heart and soul of the movie, The Social Network. It was really focused on that lawsuit. And the two former Harvard University classmates of the company founder for Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, asked a federal appeals court to reconsider their order that they accept a settlement over the website. So the Winklevoss twins, is who they are, say that Zuckerberg stole their idea for Facebook but agreed to drop their lawsuit in 2008, and they wanted $20 million in cash plus stock in the company. But then they discovered that the stock was worth less than claimed at the time, so they wanted to have the deal voided. And we know now that the 3-judge panel, the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, ruled against them last week, so their lawyers are asking for now a special 11 panel, 11-judge panel, to consider their appeal. You know, I say give it up. I'm sorry. First of all, I don't feel badly for the Winklevoss twins because they're decent looking and they're Silver Spoon guys. Look, they're spoiled, trust fundy babies. They get $100 million for sitting around and whining. That's what they get. Do they have a right to some of this Facebook money? Sorry, legally, they say no. Prove it. I think Zuckerberg knew. Hey, I got the money. We'll just keep this thing rolling. A good strategy for people who have a lot of money is to just keep it tied up in the courts. And that's what could happen here. Facebook's not going anywhere, and it basically shut down MySpace. How many people, and there's an interesting discussion, how many people even have a MySpace account anymore? Anybody listening to me do the MySpace thing versus the Facebook thing? You might hate both of them and think it's all nonsense and you don't do either. But is there anybody that opted to stay the MySpace way instead of jumping to Facebook? Because, I mean, really, Facebook killed MySpace. But in the follow-up here, the fact that they want to keep this thing going is just stupidness. And I don't think that they're going to, I don't think they're going to win this time around. I mean, being forced to accept a $20 million settlement, forced to accept. How many of you listening to me right now, as you're driving down the road working your third job or sitting there, my friends in the factory, and you like your job, but you're working it in the third shift hours, how many of you would love to have to settle? Oh, you have to settle for $20 million. Oh, that would be rough, wouldn't it? How do you do that? How do you settle? I think most of us would settle. Here's what the bottom line is. It's really just a contest between the three of them because the Winklevosses have nothing better to do, and they see the incredible amount of money that Zuckerberg has made and how he's become well known, and I think they resent it, but they're not going to win. They're not going to win this time around. I think they don't have a chance, and they should just give it up. I'm saying it. Just ditch it. This is a follow-up to the FAA also now saying that, oh, it's just not right, people falling asleep on the job, and we can't have that, even though they knew that was already going on. So they introduced some new rules for the air traffic controllers in response to everything that happened in the towers, in the control towers. The new rules specifically, we gave you some broad strokes on a previous show, but the new rules increase the 8-hour mandatory time between shifts to 9 hours, hoping that the employees will get that rest before they go on a midnight shift. Yeah, I wonder how well that's going to work. How many of you, this is another question for you, how many of you work in the third shift? Be honest. How many of you get enough sleep before you go to work? It's a very odd time to work. It's cool in a lot of ways, but you also have to be very careful because there is the tendency, yes, when you get off and you finally go to sleep, you sleep and you sleep and you sleep, but then you get up and you start doing all these different things up until the time you work, and you're not getting that. You're not getting that extra nap because I sort of think you need a nap, an extra nap, depending on how much brain power especially you're using for whatever it is that you're doing. So the new rules also wouldn't allow the air traffic controllers from working a midnight shift on the same day as a day shift, and that makes sense. It's a routine they do, and it sets up the three-day weekends. The three-day weekend is not working in this job. Because these people are falling asleep, they're exhausted, and they're not getting enough time in between. You can sound off. Throw in your 2 cents. 800-259-5791.
Here we go. The Spring Break $99 deal from Life Change Tea. Hit it, boys.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, 'cause it's going fast.
That's right. 2 months of Super Tea and a 45-day supply of Fat Burners for just $99. Spring into health for just $99. Feel good. Clean your body. Lose weight. It works immediately, so call now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can purchase online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember,
Sonny, if you want it, here it is. Come and get it. But you better hurry, cause it's going fast.
That's getthetea.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
Another tax day down the drain. We start weekly counts off with this one. President Barack Obama made less dough than he used to. He and his wife Michelle reported income of $1.73 million last year. That's mostly from the books that he wrote. But that was down from the $5.5 million a year before that. So, how much income do they report? $1.7 million. For the first time, he drew his full $400,000 salary in 2010, because in 2009, he didn't start getting the money until after his inauguration in January. Through the withholding and estimated tax payments during that year, the Obamas paid $466,104 to the IRS, and that was an overpayment, so they're getting a refund. They get over $12,000. Would they have a crappy tax accountant? I don't get it. The adjusted gross was what I told you, and the taxable income after deductions, $1.34 million. See, there is some information released about Obama. So it's not the birth certificate, but it's the tax returns. And then they list everything, you know, where they make the contributions. And they had a whole bunch of contributions, which is interesting because it's a tax write-off. And the contributions they had, like they had a $15,000, bit of money that they threw to the Clinton Bush Haiti Fund, and then $10,000 to the Boys and Girls Club, and they gave over $329,000 to charities in 2009. We also know that the president donated his entire $1.4 million Nobel Peace Prize award, but it wasn't counted as income since it went to 10 charities. However, in looking at this, it's interesting because one of the things they want to stop, or one of the loopholes, it's not really a loophole, one of the deductions that they want to stop that's been discussed, meaning the Democrats have discussed it, is the charities, that you can't write off the contributions you make to whatever charity is. We talked at the beginning of the hour with Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News about that, and that is something most people don't want to see go away. But you know now what Obama claimed on his taxes, and it was significantly less than the last couple of years when he jumped into office. When he wasn't president, he was making almost $6 million. So his income, $1.7 million. Numbers, numbers, numbers. That's the beauty of We Can Count. So Obama leads Donald Trump by 15 points, they say, in a hypothetical 2012 matchup. And that's a Rasmussen report. They do all kinds of polls, daily polls. The president is unable to top the 50% level of support, even against an opponent like Donald Trump. That's what people are talking about as far as Rasmussen is concerned. Only 65% of Republican voters would vote for Trump over Obama. Among voters not affiliated with either party, undecided, independent, that kind of stuff, 48% prefer Obama, 25 Trump, and 20 would opt for somebody else. I mean, see, that's the problem. Somebody else. Who's the somebody else? There is no somebody else. I don't know how many somebody else's there's going to be. Not too sure about that. Anybody out there really, really think that we're going to have the candidate du jour on the Republican side of things? All right, this is kind of a shocking number for you. I don't know where I was when I heard about it initially, and then I read it. And in fact, I was somewhere on the run, and I immediately tried to Google it because I was like, wow, you got to be kidding me. I smelled a rat there, but I couldn't figure out what it was. Well, anyway, the U.S. Export-Import Bank, it's an independent kind of agency of the federal government, is planning almost $3 billion in a loan for a project to expand and upgrade an oil refinery in Cartagena, Colombia. So the money would go to this company that is a Colombian national oil company. And they supply petroleum stuff to the domestic and export markets. So we're going to take money, we're going to take our money and send it there for the refinery process is what I'm assuming. But interesting the timing of it, and also, of course, the president's visit, if you remember, not too long ago to that country. So it is a company, it is a state-run place, let's put it that way. And one of the things that they released in press circulation was that the transaction will help create or sustain about 15,000 American jobs for 9 years. Because now people are more sensitive to what we're importing. And what does it do to jobs? So they were very, very quick to put that out there to make sure that everybody knew what the benefit would be for the United States. But it's interesting, a refinery in Colombia, it's a massive, massive project that they're undertaking in building this thing. They're expanding and upgrading. It's almost like a rebuild from what I heard. So that's why that kind of money was needed to to be able to get that refinery at the place it should be in running cleaner and certainly much, much faster. I'm going to cherry pick a couple of interesting, I think, weekend counts. You know, so often we go heavy here. We're hitting you hard with what's happening. And I think we need to lighten the load occasionally, right? We need a giggle or two. I'm thinking that would be, I think that would be a good thing. So Elton John, he gets the value of money. He knows how to follow the dough. He's going to the Vegas Strip again for a three-year run at Caesar's Palace. He's going to return to the Million Dollar Piano Show. It's at the Coliseum. That's where they're going to have it starting in September. And they're already pumping up, selling the first 16 shows. He did this one time before, back in 2009. It was originally supposed to go just 3 years, and instead it ended up going 5 years. So Elton John is popular enough that he can carry the show and push it, I think, a little bit further. And this is what's happened. He realizes that he's got an audience, and enough people will come out and see him and pay whatever the freight is for the tickets, because trust me, the tickets are not cheap. Not cheap. This is a big story. We can't leave this hour. We're at the finish line and finishing up. We can count without giving you this, folks. Certainly in our way of looking at things in the United States, a key credit agency, the S&P, issued a warning that I've never heard them issue anything to the United States government, urging Washington to get a grip on its finances or risk losing the credit rating. For the first time, Standard & Poor's lowered its long-term outlook for the federal government's health, fiscally anyway, from stable to negative. They say an impasse could push the agency to strip the government of its top investing rating in the next 2 years, which would not be good. And what the executive director of Concord Coalition is saying, it's a nonpartisan group that is pushing for deficit direction. Boy, there's a reduction, rather. There's actually a lot of those out there. They say this is a warning, don't mess around. Now, this is one of the worst slides we've seen in a month on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged 245 points. It did come back to close down 140 points for the day, but not looking good. And the government, of course, on pace to run that ridiculous deficit of almost $1.5 trillion. What are we thinking? What are we doing?